Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Paripraja Stotra Sitasi Simad Bhakti Vidanta Swami Prabhupad Kijai. Iskhan Samstapak Acharya Srila Prabhupad Kijai. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramhansa Paripraja Stotra Sitasi Simad Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasati Goswami Prabhupad Kijai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की जय। वृंदावन धाम की जय। नवद्वीप धाम की जय। जमुना मई की जय। गंगा मई की जय। तुलसी देवी की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। सामवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि बोल। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Sure. So we shall read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Further Inquiries by Vidura, Text 17. Please repeat after me. Yat Sevaya Bhagavata Kuta Stasya Madhu Dvisha Rati Rasa Bhavet Tivra Padayo Vyasana, Ardhana. Well, we'll see how you do by hearing. Yat sevaya bhagavata. Kutastasya madhudvisa. Rati raso bhavet tivra padayor vyasanardana yat sevaya bhagavata kutastasya madhudvisha Rati raso bhavet tivra padayor Vyasanardana. Yatsevaya Bhagavata. Kutastasya Madhudvisha. Rati Raso Bhavetivra. Padayor Vyasanardana. Yat, to whom? Sevaya, by service. Bhagavata, of the personality of Godhead. Kutastasya, of the unchangeable. Madhudvisha, the enemy of the Madhudasura. Rati Rasha, attachment in different relationships. Bhavet, develops. Tivra, highly ecstatic. Padayo, of the feet. Vyasana, distresses. Ardana, vanquishing. Translation. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Please repeat. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The association of a bona fide spiritual master like the sage Maitreya can be of absolute help in achieving transcendental attachment for the direct service of the Lord. The Lord is the enemy of the Madhu demon, or in other words, he is the enemy of the sufferings of his pure devotees. The word Rati Rasa is significant in this verse. Service to the Lord is rendered in different transcendental mellows, relationships. Neutral, active, friendly, parental, and nuptial. A living entity in the liberated position of devotional service to the Lord becomes attracted to one of the above-mentioned mellows. And when one is engaged in transcendental loving service to the Lord, one's service attachment in the material world is automatically vanquished. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:59, Rasa Varjam Rasopyasya Param Dristva Nivartite. The translation again. By serving the feet of the spiritual master, one is enabled to develop transcendental ecstasy in the service of the personality of Godhead, who is the unchangeable enemy of the Madhu demon, and whose service vanquishes one's material distresses. So we are gathered here at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada on his divine appearance day in his Western world headquarters. Srila Prabhupada has translated many transcendental literatures for us. He would rise early in the morning and he would spend as much time as possible translating. But at least he would translate from, well, I said early in the morning, I would probably be more precise to say that he rose in the middle of the night. Usually he would take rest about 10, sleep for about 2 hours, and then get up at about midnight and translate. So he considered his service of translating the Vedic literatures and writing to be most important. And who did he write for? He himself said that he wrote for his sincere followers. He wrote for everyone, but mainly for his sincere followers. So to read Srila Prabhupada's books, to study Srila Prabhupada's books, to try to understand them and apply them is an important part of our service to him. Or as Srila Prabhupada once said, that we should not only distribute his books, but we should also read them. So today, on his appearance day, I thought to discuss some of the philosophy that Srila Prabhupada has presented in his books, because the philosophy is the basis. Well, books are the basis. The philosophy is the basis of our activities in devotional service, our activities in ISKCON. So one of the first books that Srila Prabhupada translated was The Nectar of Devotion, a summary study of Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And there, Srila Prabhupada, following Srila Rupa Goswami, explains that there are three divisions of devotional service: sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. Sadhana bhakti has been rendered by Srila Prabhupada in English as devotional service and practice. Bhava bhakti as devotional service in ecstasy. And prema bhakti as devotional service in pure love of Godhead. So for people interested in spiritual advancement, it is a great question: how do we progress? Of course, Srila Prabhupada himself emphasized the chanting of the holy names, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we read in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, also has confirmed that of all the items of devotional service, the chanting of the holy names is the most important. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada stressed above all the chanting of the holy names. And for disciples, the chanting of 16 rounds. Now where does the service of the spiritual master come into the picture? Or where does it fit? Srila Jiva Goswami explains that disciples tend to have two views of the role of service to the spiritual master in the process of devotional service. In one view, the main activities are bhajan, hearing and chanting and remembering Krishna. And serving the spiritual master is sort of a subdivision or a subordinate activity. I know from my own experience, from my own association with them, that many of the senior members of the Gaudiya Vaishnav Sampradaya outside ISKCON have the belief that the main processes are hearing and chanting and remembering, and that one serves the spiritual master to facilitate one's hearing and chanting, to ultimately get impetus for one's hearing and chanting. And then Jiva Goswami says there's another type of disciple who considers service to the spiritual master to be like a separate process, or anga, limb, separate limb of sadhana bhakti, and they consider it to be on the same level as hearing and chanting and remembering, as an independent item. And Srila Jiva Goswami says that of the two, the understanding that service to the spiritual master is a separate item is better. Which might come as a surprise to some people. But the way Srila Prabhupada presented himself as a disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his mood of service, and the way he trained us in service, he did instill in us that mood of service to the spiritual master. Now, there's another argument, which is that as long as one doesn't have taste for hearing and chanting, one should serve the spiritual master. And when one develops taste, then one should become more absorbed in hearing and chanting. And the practical service to the mission of the spiritual master in the material world is not so important. It's not so attractive and it's not so important. Because the real process to enter the higher realms of devotional service is hearing and chanting and remembering. But the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that we just read says the opposite. Canto 3, Chapter 7, Text 19. This verse says the opposite. This verse says, specifically, by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master, one develops rati. Now, rati is part of that scheme of different levels of devotional service mentioned by Rupa Goswami. First is sadhana bhakti, and next is bhava bhakti. And a synonym in Sanskrit for bhava in certain contexts is rati. Rati means attachment. So, as Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, and as Rupa Goswami elaborates in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are different bhavs or different types of rati. There is dasya rati, that is attachment to Krishna in the mood of being a servant. There is sakya rati, which is attachment to Krishna in the mood of being a friend. And there's vatsalya rati, which is attachment to Krishna in the mood of being a parent. And madhurya rati, which is attachment to Krishna in the mood of being a lover of Krishna. So it is by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master that one develops these bhavs, or these different types of attachment for Krishna. It is by service to the lotus feet of the spiritual master that one develops that desire to serve Krishna in a particular relationship. So we don't have to, as some people suggest, we don't have to engage in some sort of artificial, esoteric practice to develop that desire for service to Krishna in a particular relationship. But that follows by serving the lotus feet of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So my own experience from reading the scriptures and to some extent from coming in touch with different moods of devotional service, even in the general heading of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is that Srila Prabhupada has given us a very high understanding, although it is deceptively simple, you know, chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and spread the Sankirtan movement to the best of one's ability. It's deceptively simple. And one might think that, well, one has to go deeper. One has to, like, study the books and uncover the esoteric messages and processes. But what Srila Prabhupada gave us from the very beginning is actually the most effective process, not just to spread Krishna consciousness, but even for us to progress through the different stages of devotional service. So I felt it appropriate on Srila Prabhupada's appearance day that we express our appreciation for this aspect of Srila Prabhupada's mission, how he was able to present the process by which one can achieve ecstatic love of Godhead in the simplest terms. So we should serve Srila Prabhupada with full faith and conviction and without reservation. There is the famous verse in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina, that one must approach a spiritual master and render service to him, ask submissive questions of him, and surrender to him. And we also find in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Acharya Upasana, one of the items of knowledge. Acharya Upasana, one must approach the Acharya. So Srila Prabhupada comments that one who has served the spiritual master without reservation can make advancement even if he is unable to strictly follow all the rules and regulations. Or, for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation, following all the rules and regulations becomes easier. So again, the importance of serving the spiritual master without reservation, without condition. I will do this, but I won't do that. Or I will do this if I get this in return, but I won't do it if I don't. So service to the spiritual master without reservation is the key to Krishna consciousness. And that was Srila Prabhupada's own mood. He always said that he followed his Guru Maharaj blindly. When he received an instruction from his spiritual master, he didn't calculate in terms of his personal gain or loss, but he just accepted the instruction and tried his best to execute it. So that was Srila Prabhupada's mood in his own service, and that was the mood that he instilled in us. Selfless service. Once in India, in Calcutta, actually, Srila Prabhupada had us so busy, so busily engaged, so fully engaged in practical activities to spread Krishna consciousness in India that we hardly had time to chant our rounds, what to speak of reading his books. And at one stage I was actually getting into anxiety that I didn't have time to read his books. And I was in Srila Prabhupada's room in Calcutta. We still have the same temple in Calcutta. And he quoted the verse, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that by rendering service to the person Bhagavat or by listening to the book Bhagavat, one gets the same result. Srila Prabhupada said that if one serves the person Bhagavat without reservation, all of the truths of the book Bhagavat will be revealed to him, even if he never reads the book. So that was how Srila Prabhupada engaged us and trained us. The mood of selfless service or unconditional service. Now, when I think back on how we served then, I think, well, we were protected by Srila Prabhupada's personal presence, by his personal potency. You know, for his sake, we could, you know, work day and night and, you know, just barely chant our rounds. I mean, it would vary according to the circumstance and hardly have time to read. But what about now? And some devotees have commented that when Srila Prabhupada was here, he had a great sense of urgency because he wasn't sure how long he would be with us. And he wanted to do as much as he could while he was here. So there's also the idea that there's sort of like routine service, and then there's exceptional service that one renders in times of emergency. So I would say that, yes, in general, you know, we should be very regulated. I began the class on the point of how important studying Srila Prabhupada's books is. So in general, we should be regulated. We should get up early, we should come for Mangalarti, we should chant our rounds, we should attend the class and take prasad and have our day's activities, do our service during the day, come back. That should be our routine because it's actually very beneficial to be regulated. And that was another amazing feature of Srila Prabhupada's devotional service, and that is how regulated he was. You know, he would always take his meals at the same time every day, take his massage, take his nap. He was very regulated. Once His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami told the story that he and a busload of devotees were riding with Srila Prabhupada from Delhi to Vrindavan. It was actually the first time since Srila Prabhupada had come back to India from America that he was going to Vrindavan with his disciples. So it was a big thing to go to Vrindavan with Srila Prabhupada. And I don't know how many there were, 30 or 50. And at about 1 o'clock, when the bus was somewhere between Delhi and Vrindavan on the Agra-Delhi highway, Srila Prabhupada stopped. He said, "It's time for my lunch." He stopped, and maybe he got out and they arranged a sort of picnic for him outdoors. He took his meals and then got back into the vehicle and the bus continued to Vrindavan. So he was very regulated. That's good for our spiritual practices. It's even good for our health. But for the sake of service to his spiritual master, he was prepared to do anything. So even though we want to be regulated, and being regulated is good, but when the time comes to go beyond our routine for the sake of service to Srila Prabhupada, we should be prepared. We should be prepared to do anything for Srila Prabhupada. And it was that spirit, I mean, that was Srila Prabhupada's spirit. He was ready to do anything to spread Krishna consciousness. And he inspired in us the same spirit so we were ready to do anything to assist him. Mother Malati tells a nice story how when Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers first came, he invited them to meet him in Mayapur when we first got the land there, and Srila Prabhupada had this little Chetai hut, which is still there, sort of renovated, but still there in Mayapur. And Mother Malati had been cooking for Srila Prabhupada. And it was very difficult because there was no money. It was a real struggle to get any money from the treasurer. And then it was hard just to get good ingredients to cook with just in the village there in Mayapur. And there was really no, I don't think they had a refrigerator or anything, so whatever they had to buy, they had to get fresh every day. And then again, she didn't know what Srila Prabhupada would want, so she would have to wait until he told her, and sometimes he'd be engaged, and she wouldn't get the menu until quite late, but then he wanted his meal on time, and it was a very difficult service for her, and she was in a lot of anxiety about it. And then on top of everything else was the whole issue of making it come out nicely. So Prabhupada liked it. So a few days went by, and, you know, she was in complete anxiety. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada didn't say one kind word to her the whole time. And she was like, she was on the verge of quitting. I mean, she was practically on the verge of collapsing. So then Srila Prabhupada invited his godbrothers, and he really wanted to give them a good impression of Krishna consciousness, of his disciples. So he explained, you know, what he wanted, and he said he wanted, you know, really first-class prasad. Told Malati, I want first-class prasad. And she was already on the verge of collapsing. So, and on top of it all, the way she described it, you know, Prabhupada didn't say, you know, encourage her at all, and if anything, he chastised her. So anyway, she did it, you know, with great trepidation and trembling. She did it, and you know, Prabhupada was sitting on the floor with his godbrothers in his Chetai hut, and just the fact that he had female disciples living in the ashrams, and he was, you know, letting female disciples cook for him and them, you know, that was also a bit radical. And so Mother Malati had to come into the room. She didn't really want to, but she had to. And Srila Prabhupada said, just see this lady. You know, she has given up everything for me. She would cut off her head for my sake, and I would do the same for her. So when she heard that, I mean, she was just like, you know, that was more than any reciprocation she could have imagined or hoped for. So that was That was the mood. That was the mood. Like, you know, I know devotees would say, you know, if Prabhupada told me to jump off of the Empire State Building, I would do it. That was the mood then. But Prabhupada's mood was also the same, not just towards his spiritual master. Certainly, he would do anything for his spiritual master. He did. He came on a steamship all the way from India to America, to New York. He lived in the Bowery, and he was ready to do anything for his spiritual master. But he was also ready to do anything for us, really, for the devotees who gave everything to him. He was ready to give everything to them. So that is really love. That is love. And it is that love that we experienced in relation to Srila Prabhupada that becomes the basis of developing love for Krishna. You know, Srila Prabhupada used to say the spiritual master is the transparent via medium for Krishna. So we get knowledge from Krishna through the spiritual master, and we offer service to Krishna through the spiritual master. But it's more than just the mechanics of the service, it's the mood of devotion. We develop the mood of devotion for the spiritual master, and that becomes the mood of love and devotion for Lord Krishna, Radha Krishna. So, the service of the spiritual master is a very deep thing, and it is the basis of the Krishna consciousness movement. And again, chanting 16 rounds is part of our service to Srila Prabhupada, an important part. Following the regulative principles is part of our service. But the general principle is to be ready to do anything for Srila Prabhupada's sake, for Srila Prabhupada's service. And, you know, that's the basis on which ISKCON was formed. That is the basis on which ISKCON will grow strong. And that is the basis on which, as Srila Prabhupada said, we'll have another ISKCON in the spiritual world. We'll all go back to Godhead. Well, that's also not so easy. It's not so difficult, but it's not so easy. But if we follow and chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, and really do our best to spread Krishna consciousness, then we will go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada has promised us, and Krishna will uphold Srila Prabhupada's promise. So we will go back to Godhead and serve Krishna there under Srila Prabhupada's eternal guidance. Hare Krishna. So are there any questions or comments? Yes? Hare Krishna.
Present, isn't that, what is that?
Are you talking about serving Srila Prabhupada in his physical absence?
Well, yeah, actually, yeah, either Srila Prabhupada or, in our case, you know, the grand disciples, like serving our spiritual master if he's not present, you know. And is there something that you're emphasizing that's still?
Yes, well, that's a good question. The question is, I'll paraphrase it, but, you know, I had a lot of personal association with Srila Prabhupada, so he would give me direct instructions, and I would try to execute them. But what if the spiritual master is not present? Either he's left the planet or geographically he's not available. Then how do we serve the spiritual master? Well, from the beginning of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada emphasized serving his representatives, serving the officers in the temples. Even when Srila Prabhupada was physically present, very few devotees were working under him directly. Most of the devotees were working under the temple presidents and other authorities. And we knew that that was what Prabhupada wanted, so we did it. Of course, we did have recourse to Srila Prabhupada if we thought that an authority needed to be corrected or educated by Srila Prabhupada. We could, but it wasn't that common because we all knew that Srila Prabhupada wanted to be free to translate his books. He didn't want to be bothered by all sorts of little problems. And therefore he formed the GBC so that even if there was a difficulty with the temple president, it didn't have to come to Srila Prabhupada, but it could go to the GBC and they would deal with it. But even then, what happened if the GBC needed some help? So Srila Prabhupada was there. And his presence, I believe, made it easier for some devotees to surrender to his representatives because he was personally there at the top of the pyramid. But in principle, I would say the word that Srila Prabhupada used more was cooperation. You know, your love for me will be showed by how you cooperate. So it's a combined effort. It's a combined effort. So I think that in most cases, you know, serving Srila Prabhupada or serving any spiritual master in ISKCON does mean cooperating with the authorities and working with the other devotees to spread Krishna consciousness. And then, of course, we have the basic instructions, you know, to chant 16 rounds, follow the regulative principles, attend the programs, and so on. And then there's the Chaita Guru, the spiritual master in the heart. You know, if we're sincere enough and pure enough and surrendered enough, we can get dictation from within the heart, from the spiritual master, how to serve him.
Seems that even when Prabhupada was here, he emphasized that his mission was bigger than the individual. In other words, if you can't render service nicely in a particular locale, then go to a different place. Or even change service. But he was saying never give up on the mission itself. It seemed that he strongly emphasized that.
That's true. That's true. I mean, there were exceptional cases. where Srila Prabhupada said that if you can't get along with your god brothers, then you can work separately. But that was exceptional. But usual was, if you can't work here, then work there, but don't leave Krishna consciousness. Don't leave the service of the mission. Yes. She said, can I tell her a personal story about me serving Srila Prabhupada without reservation? Well, I don't know if I've come to that stage yet. Maybe if you ask me in a few million lifetimes, I can tell you one. But there is sort of a sweet story that comes to mind. It was in Gorakhpur. We had been invited there by Hanuman Prasad Poddar of the Gita Press, which is really very big in India. There's so many publications, but it would be like the Reader's Digest in America. But spiritual. So anyway, Hanuman Prasad Poddar provided us a big estate. It was called Sri Krishna Niketan. It was a huge mansion with a lot of agricultural fields around it. And I believe it had been his personal residence earlier. And at the time, Srila Prabhupada had the brass Radhamadava deities with him that later were installed in Mayapur. And it was in Gorakhpur that Srila Prabhupada introduced the song Jai Radhamadava, which now we sing every day before class. So he wanted the devotees to set up an altar. And some days were passing and nothing was happening. And finally, Srila Prabhupada just, became very concerned. And he took the matter into his own hands and he organized the construction of the Singhasan, you could say. So he had us get, I think, bamboo poles and put the wood together. It was, and then he asked, there were just a few ladies traveling with Srila Prabhupada then. So he asked one of them for like her best silk sari. And then I think he asked one of the householder men for a dhoti, and so he got the cloth, to cover the bamboo and the wood. And then he wanted foliage to put on top of it all. So I was relatively new and not that capable of doing other things. So myself and one other of the men were sent out to bring back branches of bushes and trees. So by then it was already, maybe 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was getting towards sunset. And I didn't know, when to stop. I was very new and I didn't know how much to bring and when to stop. So I just kept getting more and more and more. And it kept getting darker and darker. It was there's a slight resemblance, like when Krishna and Sudama went into the forest and it got darker and there was a storm. But anyway, I wasn't sure. So I just kept getting more and more. I was like totally, like I could hardly walk. I had so many branches. And then I made my way back to Sri Krishna Niketan and climbed up the stairs. And there was Srila Prabhupada. It's like the altar was already done. Practically all the devotees had gone to rest. And it was just Srila Prabhupada and one or two other devotees. And I came like staggering up the stairs with this huge load of branches. And Srila Prabhupada was in such an ecstatic mood. I think he was just really pleased that we finally had made an altar for the deities. And, you know, he saw me coming up and it was late, and he, I guess he figured out I was like really trying to bring back a good bunch of branches. So like I dropped them on the floor and he was just smiling and beaming and he touched me. I mean, he didn't touch devotees very often. There are some of the early devotees he did, but I think there were only really, it was only really twice in my experience in Krishna consciousness that he actually touched me. And he was just very pleased. He said, thank you very much. And he sort of touched my shoulder. So that was a nice experience. And sometimes I think back that, and yes, of course, after Srila Prabhupada left, we had to distinguish between him as the founder Acharya and others who were like just gurus. And so much thought has been given to Srila Prabhupada's position as the founder Acharya, and rightly so. But when I look back on that incident, I feel, yes, he was the founder Acharya, but he was also my spiritual master. And it sort of was like Krishna and Sudama and Sandipani Muni. And there was like that personal touch of the spiritual master and disciple. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.